Hey everybody, my name is Danny Dumas, and this is the Earn Your Title podcast. This is part two of probably the best way to overcome stress is to be physically active. We talked a couple weeks ago with my buddy here, Love, about the importance of mitigating stress, mitigating the harmful stress hormones, distress chemicals that are in our body, and moving is one of those. Exercising is one of those. Being healthy is one of those ways, and I wanted to give you the tools that I use and have used for other people to help them move better, feel stronger. If you followed us last week, we talked about getting stronger using a barbell, using the 5x5 method, and it's awesome. I highly suggest you listen to that episode. Even if you've been doing barbell exercise for a while, I think you might be able to pull out a few nuggets of wisdom out of that. Barbell exercising is where it's at. It's what I do, and it has helped me get stronger than I've ever been. So go back, listen to that episode. But today, we're going to talk about moving fast and moving far. As I mentioned last week, I think it's super important that we have the ability to have an all-out effort, meaning giving 100% for 1, 2, maybe 3 minutes, just that pure push of, you know, you get the adrenaline and you can just go all out without feeling that you're going to die, which is important. That's an important thing, that just have that ability to just to go hard. You know, that, think of like the football play mentality of that 10 seconds of all out effort. I want us to be able to do that for, you know, 2 to 3 minutes. I also think we should be able to go far. We should be able to go a long ways. And I'm going to show you a few things that I do that help me build that high intensity energy and that long, slow, just a slogging energy where you can just, you know, if they said, hey, your kids broke down in a car 15 miles away and you got to walk there, you're not going, oh my God, they're going to die because I'm never going to get there. You go, okay, it's going to take me a little bit, but I got 15 miles in me. And I think that having that confidence is awesome. It feels good. Like, I think, you know, sometimes when we get into fitness, we think a lot about the looks, like, how do I look? How do I, you know, but what can I do? Like, that's the right answer to the question of, am I in shape? What can I do? My buddy's car broke down. Can I push it to the gas station? Yeah, I can do that. That's cool, man. That's a man flex. You know, we got to move a refrigerator. Yeah, I can help you pick that up. Those things I think are important, and it gives you confidence. Like, if you've never competed or played a sport, I would encourage you to find something that you can sign up for in the future that's going to put you up against somebody else and do that. And that is a really good, even if you get dead last, you competed where nobody else did. I mean, all your other friends are sitting on the couch. You did something. There's something that builds confidence. But how do you do that? How do you train for those things where you move long or move quick? So let's talk about moving fast or moving at a high intensity or just putting that all in effort for 2 to 3 minutes. My number one way of doing a high intensity workout, you might hear it called HIIT, high intensity interval training, is the Tabata. The Tabata was a Japanese researcher who came up with this rep scheme of working really hard, then resting, then working really hard. And it's very efficient. You can get a really good workout in 4 minutes. Each Tabata is a 4 minute exercise of 20 seconds of all out effort with a 10 second rest. Now, in the study, this was the best rep scheme, but really you could do anything with a work hard, rest, balance ratio. The 20 seconds on, 10 seconds off seems to be a pretty good one. And the way I like to do this, probably my two favorite ways are on the treadmill. And the reason for the treadmill, as opposed to running outside. Now, I hate the treadmill. If I had to go run 3 miles, I can think of nothing worse than running on the treadmill. But the benefit of the treadmill is the speed is always consistent. Whether I'm tired, whether I'm feeling great, when I set it to 9 miles per hour, that's what it is, and it's just going to go whether I want to or not, and so I have to keep up. So the way you would do a Tabata on a treadmill would be to, I'm going to warm up for 2, 3, 4 minutes, make sure I'm sweaty. We was joking the other day, I'm almost 44, and when I was younger, I didn't really understand warming up. I would just, hey, it's time to work out, let's go work out. I might do some warm-up sets, you know, just to get the movement ready, But like to actually have my body warm, I mean, that seemed like a waste. Why would I get all sweaty before I work out? Man, now if I don't do that, I am hurting. So get in the habit of warming up. Now, this is kind of side note. Warming up doesn't mean stretching. You don't need to be stretched out to work out. Your muscles need to be warm to function effectively. So you literally need to get warm, not stretched. Hopefully that makes sense. Now, there's some benefit of mobility, be able to move all the way through the range of motion, which is a lot easier when your muscles are warm, but you actually physically should be getting close to being sweating before you do anything at max effort, especially running. If you haven't run very much, definitely be warm before you start doing these sprints. So I'm going to warm up 5-10 minutes, get sweaty. Then I'm setting that treadmill as fast as I think I can run. I mean, this should be all out, and I'm going to get on it, and I'm going to run for 20 seconds, and then I'm going to step off the treadmill, but I'm going to keep it going. And that's the benefit of the treadmill, is it doesn't have to ramp up. You just step off, wait for 10 seconds, you go again. So for me, in a Tabata, is going to be 8 of those. 8 of the 20 on, 10 off. That's 4 minutes of working out. For me, I know I'm at the right pace when I get to like the fourth set of Tabatas and I am really struggling to get through that 20. Like I really want to get off the treadmill at second 18, 19, 20. At the halfway mark, at that four Tabata mark, I'm like, okay, this is it. And then the next four, they're pretty terrible. And if you're not out of breath, if you're not like right at that last 20, like 10, 2, 3, 4 seconds, like really wanting to get off the treadmill, you're probably not going fast enough. And the benefit of this is it takes your heart rate as high as it can go. I mean, this should be max heart rate. And then you get 10 seconds to lower it down, because the way our energy system works, that is an anabolic, without getting too technical, that's not using oxygen. It's using other chemical processes that produce lots of lactic acid. And if you try to keep that past that 20 second mark and you get up to 30, 40, 50, you get flushed with so much lactic acid that you really just shut down. You just can't go. Humans can't go all out for like most humans, like normal people in the Olympics, whatever, they've built up a tolerance, but most of us can't go all out for 4 minutes. It's just not possible. We can go 80% for 4 minutes, but not 100%. So we're given the 100%, then our lots of heart rate drop down just enough so we don't burn out, and you go again. And the goal of doing these Tabatas is to do 4 minutes. Now, when you start, 4 minutes is going to be all you can handle, and you probably shouldn't do this more than 4 minutes. I try to train intensity once a week for sure, maybe twice, but I like to have them spread out because this is a pretty high taxing thing. So I do 4 minutes. If I was going to do another one, I would wait 2 minutes. So that would be put me 6 minutes in my workout. So I'd have a full 2 minute rest, and then I would go again. I would do another 4 minutes. That puts me at 10 minutes. And if you could work up to doing 4 Tabatas, 16 minutes of Tabatas with 2 minute rest in between, you will be in better shape than 98% of the population. And remember, most statistics are made up on the spot to prove a point. You're going to be in really good shape. That's something to obtain. Now, you can do it for any exercise where you can quickly ramp up to full speed and then rest. I like the rowing machine. I go all out for 20 seconds, and then I actually don't stop rowing. I just row extremely slow for 10 more seconds. I feel like it feels better to move on the rowing machine. The one that gets me, the one I actually really can't do 20 seconds on, 10 seconds off, is the Airdyne bike, where you're pedaling and you're moving your arms forward, backwards, and forwards. I have to do an opposite on that one. I do 10 seconds on, 20 seconds off. That one just kills me. But it could be as simple as jump rope. Maybe like air squats, some bodyweight exercises. I find that you slow down because it's hard to, like if you're trying to do Tabata push-ups, you're going to get to the point where you just can't do any more push-ups inside that 20 seconds towards the end. Like you might burn out and you just aren't doing it. So it's something you can do it for the entire 20 seconds and go as fast as you can. And that is just a great way to get into that move as fast as you can with the most intensity for as long a period of time. And I think you should train for that. That should be a very specific part of your fitness routine, is knowing that you can get your heart rate up, get it back down. That allows you to, if you're in a stressful situation, to respond and think at the same time. Something we find out in any type of stressful situation, And I'll say it as in fire service, when I've been working the hardest, I've been thinking the leastest. I think I made that word up. And that's true with everybody. When you're working at that 100%, your brain stops thinking and you are only responding. You're only acting with what you've done in the past, what your training tells you to do. You're no longer thinking. So if you can keep your threshold a little bit lower, maybe down to that 80% range of your max effort, you can still think a little bit. It's why, you know, quarterbacks that are experienced can see so much because they've spent so much time at that high level that their heart rate actually isn't in the black, they're not redlining their brain. They can still think when all these things are happening because they've inoculated themselves to that stress where they can still think. And that's what you want in any emergency. You want to be able to think. Or if you get to the point where you can't think, you want to have trained so much that the things that you're doing are what you trained yourself to do. And that, you know, being prepared as a man for emergencies, I think is an important part of truly earning your title. So, you know, do this, go all out, find some exercise that you can go all out and be able to go fast and go hard for 2, 3, 4 minutes. And I think this is a skill that will drastically pay dividends in your life. There's this guy, Peter Attia. He's got a great book out and I'll link to that, but he mentions VO2 max, which is basically your ability to use oxygen to function and at what level you can do that. That's one of the, having a high VO2 max is one of the ultimate predictors of longevity. So if I'm 40, if I could have the VO2 max of an average 20-year-old, I'm living like a 20-year-old. Like it's literally saying your physiology is that of a 20-year-old, which means I should have 60 more years to live, if that makes sense. So working on your VO2 max, it is an important metric, and being able to go all out is one of the ways to increase your VO2 max. So I'll link that book. It's a good one. Number two, and when it comes to stress and mental health, I think this is probably the most important exercise. Going fast is important. Being strong is important. But going far is the most important from a mental stress standpoint. There is something very special about going for a walk, especially outside, that just clears your head. It just allows you time to think, allows you time to process, allows you time to not think, right? Allows you just to get into a rhythm where all you're doing is feeling your breath, feeling the, you know, the wind on your face, feeling the rocks on the ground, and that's really important. So when I'm planning on moving, I'm actually not talking about running. While running is a great exercise, and I have run in my life, I've been a runner, I ran a marathon, and I enjoyed the overall experience. I didn't enjoy every day of running. There's a saying that running and hitting yourself in the head with a hammer are very similar in the fact that it feels so good to stop. So I'm not saying running. I'm actually talking about walking, or what I'd like to do more than just walking is rucking. The way I get my workouts when I'm going to go for a walk is I always take my dog. She's a high energy dog. So I'll take my dog. I put a backpack on. Then I have a 25-pound metal plate that I stick in my backpack, and I will go for a ruck. Rucking comes from the military, where they have a ruck sack, which they carried everything. And it is a staple in the military of taking your equipment and moving it a certain distance at a certain time. And the reason I like rucking is the benefits I get because I'm carrying weight equal a longer workout. So say I only have enough time to do a 45-minute walk. I can go out. I'm going to go out and do four miles, maybe 3 miles. If I only have 45 minutes and I'm going to go just walk, there I'll get a certain amount of benefits. If I throw weight in my backpack, the stability muscles that I'm using to stabilize my back, I get that much more of a workout. My hips get a better workout. Everything basically improves, and I get much more reward from the effort of doing that same 45-minute walk by putting weight in my back. And the other thing, just like when we talked about barbell workouts, how it's important that it's progressive, that you're constantly adding. I know I can make my rucking or my carrying things progressive by just adding weight to the backpack. And there's lots of ways you can do that. You know, I have a steel, I don't know, it's like this panel looking thing, but you could add water. The benefit of a water, say you want to have the first half of your workout, you want it to be really hard. So you've got a 25 pound steel weight, and then you add 2 gallons of water. That's 16 pounds. But you only want the first half of your workout to be hard. So you walk out, say you're going to do 8 miles today. You walk 4 miles and you're like, you know, I want to take it easy on the way back. Take the gallons of water, dump them out, and you just lost 16 pounds without littering, right? So I really like carrying weight. I think that is something we should all do. It's well researched. The military has done a ton of research on carrying weight. There's a company called GORUCK. That's the backpack that I wear. They are high quality. They've gotten cheaper because they're not all being made in America anymore. Just get outside and move long distances. Be progressive, though. I do think the doing more and more and more is better. Now, this could be more weight. It could be more distance. It could be more speed. That's the benefit of this. There's multiple ways to scale this, but I think for training, it is helpful to increase, to do more. So carry a backpack. A couple other moving things workouts that I do when I am at the fire station and it's nice out. Like yesterday, we're in the middle of winter still. Yesterday it was like 55 degrees. I was getting ready to go down in the basement to do a strong lift barbell workout. And I looked at my watch. I saw the temperature. I said, nope, I'm going outside. And I did a rucking / farmer carry workout where I took a sandbag. I didn't have my backpack with me, so I grabbed a 40-pound sandbag and I put it on my back and I did 5 laps around the parking lot. I set it down, then I grabbed a 35-pound weight and I did a farmer's carry. I think farmer's carries are probably the most underrated exercise that you could do. I feel so strong after a series of doing farmer's carries. And all a farmer carry is, there's two ways to do it. You can have two weights or one. I kind of like one weight because I feel like it forces my core to stay active. I just pick up whatever barbell or kettlebell or gallon of water you're going to use, and I walk with it. And for me, I do a walk around. I do a walk around my parking lot, which is like, I don't know, like 500 yards, 250 there. I don't know what it is. I've clocked it. I forget. Pick it up, walk around with 35 pounds. That's what I did yesterday in my right hand. Then I pick it up with my left hand. I do another lap. And for me, that 35-pound mark with the distance is I'm right at the end. Like at the end, I'm like, I really want to let this weight go. You could do really lightweight and just hold it the entire time. Again, you can do two. But I think the farmer's carry is awesome. The sandbag is awesome. The weight plate in your backpack is awesome. Having if you have some back problems where that backpack feels like it's pulling you back, you can get a weighted vest, so there's weight on the front and the back. It's a little more evenly loaded. It's an awesome workout, and I think you should try it. If you have never rucked, carried a backpack, do it. You don't need to go out and spend any extra money. Just, you know, grab some cans, stick them in a backpack you already have, and go for a hike. The other thing, this is very interesting, is this is kind of a side note, it's a bonus for you. When we lose weight, as the first half of however much you want to lose, if you want to lose 10 pounds, the first half, the first 5 pounds are pretty easy. Well, as we get lighter, we actually, it does get harder because we're lighter. We're not actually moving as much weight with our body on a daily basis. So our resting metabolic rate goes down. Meaning if I weighed 250 pounds, that takes so much energy just to move it around, just to move my body around. I have to put out this much energy. Well, I lost, let's say I want to lose 50. So I lost 25 already, which was pretty easy. It happened over 6 months, kind of fell off. Well, now my resting metabolic rate, meaning the energy that I use daily, only has to move 225 pounds around. So I don't need as much. So it actually gets lower, which is one of the reasons why it's harder to lose weight the more weight we lose, because we're not doing it every single time you stand up. You're doing 25 pounds less, which, you know, over the course of a whole day, multiplied, really makes a difference. You can kind of trick your body into thinking you still weigh 250 by putting a 25-pound backpack on. And your family will probably make fun of you. But if you spent 4 hours out of your day when you're home with an extra 25 pounds on, you can increase your resting metabolic rate, which will increase the speed as to which you lose weight. And you'll kind of trick your body into saying, hey, I know I lost 25 pounds. I'm at 225. Well, today I'm back at 250. So you better go to work and amp up my resting metabolic rate and make you lose some weight. So the benefits of carrying weight are awesome. The last thing I'll add to this two-part series of fitness for stress relief is that and this is, I'll say it's very specific to me. So if you see yourself as someone like me, this might be helpful. If you think I'm totally different than Danny, then this might not be helpful at all. I do so much better when I am training for something specific. This year, I don't have anything signed up for yet. I know for sure I'm going to do a Tough Mudder in June. That is 10 miles. So I know I kind of need to get ready to do that. The unfortunate part is I've done some really long distance races. And I know that with my current fitness standard, I could get off the couch, meaning not doing any more than I'm currently doing, and do 10 miles and be okay because it's a pretty slow pace. But there's two things that I'm training for that I actually haven't signed up for yet, but I think I'm going to do it. One is I'm going to do the 1 mile an hour marathon. The way the 1 mile an hour marathon works is every hour on the hour, I'm going to walk or run a mile for 24 miles or for 24 hours for a whole day, 24 hour day. Now I'm going to have to add a few miles to get the 26.2 to make it a marathon, but I'm going to run 1 mile an hour. So I know I'm going to start rucking more because I want my body to be able to move for the full 24 hours. The other thing I'm thinking about doing in October, and if you're a friend of mine that's listening to this podcast and this is something you would like to do, message me on this because I'd like to make this a group, is my brother-in-law brought this to my attention. It's the rim to rim, the Grand Canyon hike. You either start from the north rim or the south rim. You hike down the south rim, walk down the valley, and you walk back up the north rim. I want to say it's close to 24 or 25 miles. And you do it in 15 to 16 hours, and you can't stop overnight because you don't have a permit. Those are like a lottery to get a permit. So you have to do it in a day. And I think I'm going to do that in October. That's going to be a physically extremely demanding hike. I forget the elevation gain, but it's basically you walk downhill for 12 miles and then you walk uphill for 12 miles. And so the end is much harder than the beginning. Water can be a little sparse. It's obviously hot in the valley of the Grand Canyon, and that's something I'm training for. If I don't do that, I am thinking about doing the World's Toughest Mudder again, which I've done twice already. This would be my third time, and I'm hoping to get, if I do this, I'm hoping to get the 50-mile bib. I haven't got to 50 miles yet, so that helps me. Maybe it will help you to sign up for a marathon, sign up for a Go Ruck challenge. I might do an episode on what the Go Ruck challenge is. It's a good one. They're hard, but it's worth doing. Sign up for something. If you want to do something on a daily basis, I have the Earn Your Title Challenge. This is a 28-day challenge with 14 daily tasks that when you do them and when I do them, my life is better. I'm more successful, more happy, more fulfilled, more connected with my family and my business and my career. There will be a link in the description. I think it would benefit you just to try it, just to give you some ideas of things to work on. So go lift heavy weights, go run really fast, go walk really slowly for a long time, and get after it. This has been the Earn Your Title podcast. My name is Danny Dumas, and I will talk to you later. Bye.